Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The sky is so starless, baby, the sky is so starless, baby, you got me growing heartless, so heartless, girl, it's starless, starless, yeah, yeah.
What's up, what's up? Welcome back to the Red Light Special. We are back. My name is Rob Markman. To the right of me is...
Chris Love.
Chris Love. Why y'all never like to say your own name?
I don't like to introduce myself.
You want dudes to hold your purse? You want people to introduce you?
I don't want dudes to hold my purse.
I just seen a guy
out there. I think it's nice
there.
When a guy offers to.
He didn't
especially
offer.
When everyone else is not accepting to.
I seen a guy out there holding your purse.
Jesus hey, gentlemen.
I guess.
Maybe a couple guys can learn from him. I don't know.
Whatever. First, before we go any further, I want to shout out Jake and Papa for our intro theme song, Starless. The homies are out there on tour with Tory Lanez right now, tearing up the country, man. So shout to y'all. So we're back. New episode. Last week we had Tim Vocals.
Mm-hmm.
What's your nigga Tim?
Tim is dope. I think he's a fresh breath of air for New York. If more people kind of put eyes on him, I think he's slowly growing his following and... you know, it'll be a matter of time before we see him on records with good people. So
he's so hard.
He's working for it.
He's so
hard. I'll say that much.
Nah, shout out to Tim. And we got some guests in the building that we're excited about today. But before we get into that, today, I guess when the people actually hear this, it'd be 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Grammy nominations are out for the next Grammy Awards in February. Lot of hoopla. Grammy's never going to get it right. People were never going to be happy, but the nominations came out. What did you think, Chris?
I don't think that the Grammy nominations are that they're never going to get it right, because I think they got it sort of right this year. I know a lot of people disagree, but that's been a thing for years. You know what I mean? Like the Grammys, when even like 10 years ago, there was always issues, you know, with who was getting voted on or what the show was going like. I mean, there's always going to be complaints. I think at least this year, there's a lot of people that are nominated that I'm happy to see nominated rather than not.
Okay.
But there are some snubs.
That was real political.
There are some snubs.
Best R&B performance category. We'll go through them real quick. If I Don't Have You, Toni Braxton, Rise Up, Andra Day, Breathing Underwater, Hiatus Coyote.
Shout out to Slump.
Planes, Jeremiah featuring J. Cole and his X-rated verse, and earned it by The Weeknd. You feel good about this? Best R&B performance?
I mean, I don't know about Tamar Braxton. I've never really been a fan of hers.
Oh, okay.
Andra Day, I'm happy to... But Andra Day, I feel like, kind of came out of the blue. She's in that new Apple commercial, and she has an incredible voice that...
Yeah.
I want to see a little more
she
from
her. She
seems
like the type of artist that the Grammys love.
Hiatus Coyote is dope, though.
Salam, I feel like, man, Salam got a lot of Grammy nominations, man. Salam, I don't know, man. Salam be behind. Jasmine Sullivan got a bunch. Omarion, I feel like Omarion got on Twitter today and was a little hot because Supposed to Be wasn't nominated.
What's your boo?
Yeah, I would like to see Post to be in this wait, you said with my boo. No, with Janae Heiko, and I said yesterday. I feel like Post to be should be in this category. He definitely
I would put that
nomination.
Instead of If I Don't Have You by Tamar Braxton.
Right.
Definitely. I feel like that's
all right, let's go through these. Traditional R&B performance, He Is by Faith Evans, Little Ghetto Boy by Layla Hathaway, Let It Burn by Jasmine Sullivan, Shame by Tyrese, and My Favorite Part of You from Charlie Wilson.
I like Shame. I like Tyrese being on there. Shame is incredible record.
Tyrese put out a hell of an album. Best R&B song, Coffee, Miguel, Earned It by The Weeknd, Let It Burn, Jasmine Sullivan, Really Love by D'Angelo, and Shame Again by Tyrese. I don't know about that coffee in the morning, but
I'm gonna go with Shame. I'm gonna go with Shame on everything.
Best Urban Contemporary Album, Ego Death, The Internet. You called that early. Shout to the Internet. You Should Be Here by Kalani. Blood by Leanna LaHavis. That's your girl.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Heart by Miguel. And The Beauty Behind the Madness by The Weeknd.
I don't think Miguel's. It's hard. It's a good album, but it's not.
It's no Kaleidoscope Dream.
No, definitely not. But I'm happy Ego Death is on there. I feel like The Internet definitely earned that. And Leanna LaHavis needs to possibly win that.
Okay. Best R&B album is Coming Home, Leon Bridges, which you put me on to that. That dude is so amazing. Black Messiah by D'Angelo, Cheers to the Four, Andrea Day, Reality Show, Jasmine Sullivan, and Forever Charlie. Charlie, I feel like Charlie's another one. I think Charlie got the Grammy cheat code, man. Charlie is just whatever he put out.
Yeah. I hope Leon wins that. To be 26 from Texas and putting out music that nobody is putting out right now. Nobody's putting out what Leon is putting out. And he's so young and gifted and talented. I hope he wins that one.
Yeah, man. He told me, too. I did an interview with him for Genius. He recorded all those songs live to tape. There's no Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. He did it like they did it back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Like, he had sessions, which is amazing. I feel like I think Rico Love deserved a nomination for Turn the Lights On. And I think Leon got snubbed in the Best New Artist category. I think Leon should have been nominated in Best New Artist. And I think, though he's not a singer, well, he's a singer-rapper. He's not R&B though, but Fetty Wap didn't get Best New Artist nomination.
Leon.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Velas. We're not gonna go through the rap performances. We're not here for that. But our boy Velas got a nomination for All Day with Kanye mm-hmm. West, so he got a couple of nominations.
And that would be the second, right? I think he said this would be his second Grammy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But you good? Chris, we started a little late because Chris left her phone in the car. I'm just going to shout you out today.
Damn.
You good? You got your phone?
I got everything. Right. Thankfully this time.
At least you got your keys in the car?
See, the people don't know that last week what happened was I forgot my water bottle in the car. So I went back for it. And when I went back for it, I left my car keys in the car. So shout out to Samir because he actually had a break into my car. Yeah.
Samir Karam. Shout out to Samir, our engineer. Yeah, he helped you break into the car, get your car keys back.
This week I forgot my phone.
I took my ass home. Glad y'all worked that out, though. I'm glad y'all worked that out.
You don't help for nothing, Rob.
Nah, I'm
You don't.
I'm in
you do.
I'm in the mood today.
I'm just being honest.
Let's get into it, man, because we got a good friend. I think when we first started talking about this podcast and really, like, the different artists that we want to have on, this guy was at the top of our list, and we reached out to him and he curved us. He said no.
Mm-hmm. He threw us a major curveball.
It's not time yet, but let's talk about it real quick. This week, guest Hells from NYC, man, he takes his R&B thing very seriously. All right, he got his start with the legendary Boys Choir of Harlem, and over the years he's carved out a lane for himself with soothing melodies and true to life songwriting. His songs about her mixtape series is as solid as anything out. And just 2 weeks ago, he released his latest LP, Miss 4 AM. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh off of Joe Budden's All Love Lost tour, welcome Imani to the Red Light Special. He could be anywhere in the world.
But you're here with me, thanks.
What's up?
Oh, what's going on? Damn, now I got the raspy voice.
No.
What's good, man?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm and for one, I didn't curve you. I didn't curve you. I just had no reason to speak at that moment. I was dead. I was quiet in the streets. So.
There's always something to say. It's just a matter of the right timing.
Yeah, that's what it was. The timing wasn't right.
What he didn't know is that we desperately needed a guest that week. Nobody else would pick up the phone. He's like,
man.
Imani would do it. He's like, nah. We worked it out, though. How you doing, man? How you been?
Been good.
That's good.
I feel like I'm an artist again. So, you know, just getting reacclimated to the whole process and putting out music and performing.
Right.
It's been feeling real good.
Okay, that's dope. Before we go further, just because we just came over this Grammy discussion, you were saying here, hearing about all the Grammy stuff, and I know you've been on Twitter. You've been seeing all the reactions.
Fighting back from tweeting ignorant shit. The Grammys have for years gotten it really, really wrong, and then they've had moments where they've gotten it really, really right.
Right.
It's the same thing all over again. Like, there's some really deserving people up there. I agree with you on the Leon Bridges. I think he should definitely been nominated for Best New Artist.
Yeah, for real.
I'm not sure if the Tori Kelly girl has a project out.
I don't think she does yet.
But she's nominated. I don't understand why she would be nominated yet.
Oh, for the Best New Artist?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like that shit was early.
As well, you know, he had four top 10 records. I'm not understanding their process. So I think, you know, Tori Kelly's a little more visible. She's a little more media friendly.
Yeah.
So that's why she would be in there. No disrespect, but.
I don't even know that. The wild shit about Fetty. He's the nicest guy in the world. You'll never see him. He's always smiling. I mean, granted, he only got one eye, but he might look more menacing than what he is. Like, he shook hands. He kissed babies this year. Like, he did everything he had to do.
But when's the last time you seen someone in that Best New Artist, like, that kind of represented his style, his lifestyle, the urban culture, in a sense? I haven't seen anyone in there for quite some time who I felt like could actually win this thing.
And I do think that's a snub, because with Fetty, it's like, even that project that he put out, even though we had already heard some of those records before, he, you know, each one of them is their own single. I mean, they're all hits. They're all played on the radio. You change stations and you're hearing Fetty, Fetty, Fetty.
I mean, when it comes to music, in all genres, I don't know too many people who had a better year than Fetty.
He had an amazing year.
Yeah,
Ed Sheeran singing about the trap queen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, come on.
You know, he had, Taylor Swift, too.
He caters to all ages. I feel like not just all ages, but every race. I mean, you can't put him in one box.
Yeah, you can't.
And he doesn't put himself in one box.
The other thing, Tyrese album, I thought should have been nominated for R&B album of the year. I think Weeknd's gonna win all those categories anyway.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Even if there is a better choice, I think he's just gonna win all those things.
Wait, I think Tyrese got.
Shame, the record Shame, I think, was nominated for like.
Yeah, the album wasn't.
Best R&B performance and best R&B song.
Right. But his album was amazing.
You might be the first person that agrees with me. What did you think about the album, Rob?
I liked it.
You liked it?
It was cool. I didn't like that when I hit him up for them to come on the podcast that they didn't come on the podcast. But outside of that, he did a really dope album. Listen, I'm in the mood today.
It was refreshing.
I don't know if you know, but it's always good cop, back up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
My favorite, unpopular opinion, because I looked up, I'm like, I felt like something was missing, right? Because, there's also this new wave of R&B that isn't really represented. I guess Kalani. But I was like, Party Next Door. He was last year, so he missed that cutoff. And I was like, man, what about Bryson Tiller?
I knew you was about to say
but
that.
But Bryson missed the cutoff, too, by like 2 days. I really fuck with the Bryson Tiller project.
But did he though? Because
that's bullshit. Because I've seen Beyonce's project. They make sure Beyonce project get in on time.
It was like it actually released on time in New Zealand.
Yeah, come on.
It was yesterday in New Zealand.
And by the time the next year comes around, we won't be talking about this project. So it won't even get the proper respect. They definitely could have made that happen.
You fuck with Bryson? I feel like a lot of people, I don't know, I'd be seeing the timeline and
it's shaky.
I try not to give my opinion on other singers often because it either come off as hate or something.
Yeah.
But I appreciate his talent. Yeah. I do have an issue when the whole project sounds like one record. I'm not saying that he's not talented enough to do very... Like The Weeknd, when The Weeknd first came out, I'd go on record as saying I hated
that shit.
The very first project I loved, House of Balloons, I loved. And then the next two,
Thursday.
It kind of felt like the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
And I'm big on not wanting to always hear the same record. But now I'm like the biggest Weeknd fan. Like, I love this last album. I love everything he's doing now. So while I do enjoy some of the records I've heard from Bryson, I would have liked to hear a little more different tempos, a little more different feels, different tones.
I feel that's a fair critique as a fan.
Yeah.
But then I feel like there's some artists, and I'm trying to think, of like who. Then some people go to the left where every track almost sounds like a different person.
And that
and
I don't
too
like.
Too much variation.
See, I feel like when it's too much variation, it might be a little, it might come off as messy or like you don't have, I can't distinguish your sound as an artist.
I'm trying to think
of
a good example.
But do you think it's maybe because he's new that he's maybe like, all right,
well, no,
let
you
me.
Know, that's, and that's the other thing. When you're, it's your first album, you're just really getting into crafting a whole project. I can't be mad at that. Yeah. You gotta, for one, not, I won't say play it safe, but you do what you do best. And, you know, the more you grow, the, you know, you'll start to see the growth as the time goes by. But, like, I'm a guy who studied, like, Michael Jackson albums and Kanye albums. And the one thing I loved about those two guys when they created albums is each song sounded totally different.
Yeah.
But they were able to fit on a full project and still all make sense. So, like, I appreciate people who actually take the time to do that. It's not many people who want to be Michael Jackson and Kanye, but yet well, still we want to strive for perfection. So
it's funny you say that because I feel like your sound is very MJ. Not very MJ. I feel like I hear
it's there.
In certain parts of the songs, I hear a little bit of that melody, and I'm like...
He's a major influence, and if I were a young guy in this sport, I'd probably make my whole project sound like MJ. But I don't want to be MJ. Like, I'm inspired by him, and there's moments where I want to pull in and do different things. There's moments where I'm inspired by something Prince might have done or Maxwell, mm-hmm. and I'll try to pull him in, but... I'm still trying to get to the point of knowing how my album should sound. So I don't want to go ahead and make a whole project sounding like MJ.
Yeah.
I think it's just...
I like how you said if I'm young in this sport, like he's fucking Stevie Wonder out here.
I mean, to the general population, I'm young because it's a lot of people who are still unaware of anything I've done and stuff like that. But for me, you know, I've been creating music for a long time. So I do feel like... I feel like I'm the... The old rookie.
The old rookie. Yeah. I like that.
Nah, but you just put out this project.
Yeah, Miss 4 a.m.
Miss 4 a.m. It's a dope body of work, man. It's an EP, so it's short, it's sweet, it's concise, and it kind of feels like it tells a story. Me and Chris were talking about it, and Chris definitely had a couple questions like pertaining straight to the EP. You want to hit him with it?
Yeah, actually, there's one song... Other Side of Love,
mm-hmm.
right? And when I said that, I hear a little bit of MJ mm-hmm. in the beginning is where I hear for like 10 seconds, kind of. And then it switches into a whole nother body of the song. Like, I feel like the song itself has two parts. Talk about that song and what, you know.
I wrote the second part first. And then I felt like I was listening to Justin's 2020 Experience album. And I was like, yo, I want to do a record where the records, two records are attached, but I still wanted to make it make sense mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I was like, let me try something like that. And I had the melody for that, and it was very Mike. It was very MJ. And I sung it for Remo the Hitmaker, who pretty much produced most of the EP. And we just pieced it together, and it just made sense. Like, that very first intro piece was a melody for something else. It had nothing to do with the record. It wasn't for Other Side of Love. And I just decided to write it over and fit it for that. But I felt like the first time you hear the project, I wanted people to automatically be captivated by whatever they heard. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a reminiscent sound might have helped, but still being able to do it in my own way. So it was very MJ, but it still kind of fit with now. So I just wanted to try to test that out and see how it worked, and I loved it. Thought it was dope.
Damn, I don't know if you remember the first time I met you. I want to feel like it was like 2009. I met you very briefly. I was working with Double XL then, and Joe was in the studio putting finishing touches on Padded Room. I think he was live streaming some of the
Block
sessions.
TV. Yeah,
and as I was leaving from my interview with Joe, I think you were coming in to lay down some vocals. And that was my introduction. And many people's introductions to you is through Joe Budden. How different is the Imani that we hear on All of Lost, you know, when you work with Joe versus when you do your own thing? Because it's a very different experience.
Completely different. And that's the thing that I've been trying to get people to understand. I'm a straight R&B head. Straight R&B. Like, Joe's an R&B head.
Right.
I think we complement each other so well musically that we just consistently always work. Like, I've had moments and periods where I was like, you know what, because people aren't understanding who I am as an artist, I need to stop working with Joe. So I had that moment, Joe hit me like, yo, I need a hook. I'm like, nah, chill. I gotta
build my fan. You curved him like you curved us.
But, like, I've had moments where that, and then it was kind of like, you know what, no, I just need to work a little harder to get people to understand exactly who I am as an artist. So now, you know, when we went on and did the All Up Lost tour, it was great because I was able to do the set with him and then also do my own set. Yeah. So people can see a big difference. It's like, it's funny because I've known people who've known me for years and doing music who's never seen me perform. And then now they see me perform, like, oh my God, I didn't know that you were, like, dope. Or I didn't know that you actually were a singer.
Oh,
and
my God,
like,
you're good.
Yeah. It's almost like the greatest insult ever. It's like, I get it. But yeah.
You do this for real?
Yeah.
It's not just hooks.
It's amazing.
So, gosh.
So that's the, but I like that.
Right.
I like being able to jump into that world and then be able to jump into my world and be able to do both, and people like it.
Do you still feel like an underdog?
I don't even feel like I'm in, like, the fight yet.
No.
Like, I don't.
You in the fight now, baby.
Yeah, I'm in the fight now. And that's because I'm now throwing myself. Like, I was, if you could have asked me a year ago, am I trying to compete or anything like that, I'd have told you no. I'm like, I'm just having fun doing music now. Like, no. Like, I'm, all right, let's jump in the fight. Like, I'm all for the business bullshit that we have to do now. Like, yeah. You want to compare? Cool, let's do it. I'm very confident in my abilities. I'm very confident in what I could do within the industry. I just need to show that through the music, the body language, through the performance, through every aspect. And I'm now ready to just do all that.
Who are some of your influences? You talked about MJ early on. Who else were some of the people coming up that you...
Stevie Wonder, of course, Prince, Donny Hathaway.
Mm.
I think my last influence, and he's more of the current, was Usher.
Mm.
Usher to me is an amazing artist. He's been in this since a kid. He's grown with it. Every project that I've heard from him, I've loved. Even the ones that people think were horrible, I still love those albums. He's like the last influential R&B guy for me. But
like, what was it, Raymond versus Raymond?
Yeah.
You was fucking with that?
I love that album.
Okay.
But the one that people said was bad was like Here I Stand, which was the one after Confessions.
Here
and
I Stand
love
was
that all right. Album.
That was the one with Love in This Club, and I just remember about the singles.
I love that album.
Back. Yeah.
Love that album. So those are like...
Papers, wasn't Papers on that?
No, Papers was on the Raymond
versus Raymond. Raymond versus Raymond, okay.
Yeah, but I love those guys. Those guys to me will forever influence me through something.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Chris, you got some?
I do hear. I don't know. I'm just thinking about back to the songs now.
Now you're hearing the little...
I am. It's crazy that you say that because I feel like you have different ranges. Like, you can go really deep. Like, not deep, but right. You have, like, a very strong, bold kind of, you know, when you're talking all that lusty shit.
And
it's
I have
like,
a high-ass girly falsetto. When
yeah.
I, you know what? Prince, that... People would think that the high is inspired by Michael, and it's really not.
Mm.
Like, I love being able to go ahead and sing at a low tone and then jump back up high because Prince would do that shit effortlessly, and I would be amazed. Mike, his acting through singing, like, he can pull any character out at any moment. Like, he can give you strong, hard, aggressive, and then at any moment pull you back in and sound like a little kid on a record. Like, it was amazing to me. So that's, like, I've taken different things from different singers. Stevie and Donnie, who to me are very close vocally, I take the soulful from them.
Yeah.
At moments, especially during my shows, I always have a moment where I try to sing a cappella and show people that, okay, outside of the vocal stuff that I do in the studio and this and that, where we have to throw some reverb on something, this and this and that, like, no, I can sing and I can give you a different side of me.
Donny Hathaway is dope. Did you see the R&B Soul Cypher?
No.
With Layla.
Soul Train? Yeah.
Well,
the Soul Train Cypher.
Layla's like a ghost. Like, she's like something different. Any person who can sing two notes at one time is a beast. Really? She's amazing. Luke James is another a new guy.
Yeah, Luke James
I really
is cool.
Enjoy Elijah Blake, BJ, Chicago Kid.
Mm.
There's a lot of dope R&B dudes who just right. don't get any type of major love, that's, which is disappointing.
Yeah, that's what at least this was. Like, I think as fans, we complained about it. And we was like, well, you can sit there and complain or you could build something.
Right.
So we was like, man, let's dedicate at least an hour a week where, you know, we could have people come up and just talk about music and, you know, there would be bars.
Get somebody to do like a big R&B tour.
Yeah.
Or something.
We're going with the Red Light Special Tour. We're going to work on that.
That should be dope.
Next year. Shit, man.
I did want to ask you one thing. I'm going to interrupt you, Rob. On Other Side of Love, mm-hmm. I believe it was Other Side of Love, you say you could learn how it feels for a man to fuck your soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about a woman having faked it. And you say you don't have to fake it with me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Has a woman ever told you, like, past stories of maybe, like, an ex, like, faking it previously?
I think every woman I've dealt with has told me at some point they faked it with a man.
Wow.
And because we're ego. Like, we're big on our fucking ego. And women know that. And they'll let us think that we're this great macho man in bed or whatever, this and this and that. I'm the guy that I want to be told.
Like, let me know.
Let me know I'm bad. Yeah. Or let me know I'm not doing something right because we can fix this. But then also, I get a lot of women who are caught up sexually. I mean, well, physically within the sex, but mentally are so disattached. I'm one of those guys that I want to physically please you, and mentally I want to just mess up your whole world.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent person I've dealt with, like, I've told them, like, my whole plan in bed is to fuck up your world. Like, I want you to leave from this shit and not know what the fuck to do after this. Like, like, should I like them? Should I hate them? So, like, I love that. I live off of that. That mental fuck.
I can get you in a lot of trouble, though.
I don't care.
I think that's what everybody, like, in a sense, kind of wants, though. Because what you talk about, that what you said is deep. Like, a lot of people are there physically. Mm-hmm. You may be physically attracted to somebody, but I feel like if you can't connect mentally, then, I mean, number one, that's the main reason why a girl would fake it anyway, is because
there's no mental connection.
Right. So, and I think you need to be both places at the same time.
Yeah, and I just wanted to figure out a way to say fuck your soul in a song. It sounds like, fuck, this is perfect.
That was in the iPhone and notes for a while.
It was. It really was.
I have to say this.
Really was.
That's crazy, man. Shit, how was the road? You just came off of the road.
The road was cool. Like, we did it was like cross country. We started in, where did we start? We started upstate New York, came back down Philly, Detroit, mm-hmm. Chicago, Iowa City, Denver, Arizona. Like, we did, like, a nice trip out of it. Every show was a great show. I felt like made a whole new group of fans each performance. So I was really pleased with it. And it was also good because, like I said, a lot of people always associate me with Joe.
Right.
And they just assume that, okay, this is a guy who does hip-hop hooks.
Right.
And it was an opportunity to get them to see me at a different light and start to brand off into a different realm.
Right. Well, I was listening this morning to the homies over at I'll name this podcast later.
Oh,
shout out to Joe. Shout out to Marissa. Yo, Marissa had a wild.
Marissa's wild.
Marissa, we got to talk, man. You real messy out here. Shout out to Rory. But they said you guys actually had to kick a chick off out of the van or off the tour. What happened? She put her feet up.
No, okay. So
wait, what?
So listen, anyone who knows me, even if you don't know me for that long.
I'm dying. I'm listening.
I'm very quick to tell people I hate feet. I hate feet. Everyone knows this.
Why?
I don't know. I just hate feet. They're disgusting to me. If we could walk around on nubs, I would probably just let everybody walk around on fucking nubs.
Right.
But so we were driving from Oakland back to LA. I had gotten no sleep. And I'm one of those people that when I start the drive, I want to finish the drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving, we're driving. And this girl who we didn't know, but one of our friends was friends with her, was a little too familiar. Just all across the board. Just really too familiar. Like,
too
I'm
comfortable?
Cool with being too comfortable.
Too comfortable.
And she put her fucking feet right in between me and the passenger, and they were, like, swinging and, like, chilling. And
you mean she was sitting behind you guys?
She was sitting
so
right behind us in the middle.
So she reached her
feet out? And she reached her feet out and put it right there and sat them comfortably.
Her bare feet.
They had socks on, but still.
Okay. It's still wait, feet. Even with socks on?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, no. See, that's.
Ladies, if you ever lay in the bed with me, don't put your feet on me. I hate feet. I really do. This might, people are going to probably listen and be like, this fucking
you.
Wild weirdo.
That's like the number one cuddling. Like,
no, it's not.
Yes. Well,
the number one cuddling is either rubbing through the hair or rubbing on her ass.
If you know how to rub through hair, though. A lot of men don't know how to rub through
hair. I'm going to give an R&B tutorial on how to rub
Let's
through
go.
Hair.
Here we go.
It's very simple.
Imani's tips. I feel like
I've
you
had
need
people
a
run their fingers through my hair, and I'm like, could you not? Like, no. And then other times, it could be amazing.
What are they doing wrong, though?
Because some guys just don't know how to, like, listen, if your fingers get tangled through the hair, like, you're not doing it right.
That's because they're trying to go through the whole head.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to go through the whole head.
That's what I'm saying. Some guys just don't know how
Fellas,
to.
Instagram is at the only Imani. You need some tips, man. Just hit me up.
I thought you was going to give it right now.
No. But yeah, so she was just very comfortable, and it was annoying, and I was literally a minute away from pulling over at the nearest In-N-Out Burger and letting her out.
In-N-Out Burger.
Like Janet Jackson, and what was it, Joe Torre and Poetic Justice?
Yes, I was about to pull off in the mail truck and be like, you figure your way back to L.A. It was just that bad.
Yeah.
And I'm very patient. So to get me mad was like,
I knew this story was going to lead somewhere. Then you were telling me, we actually talking before we started taping, your last show, somebody came up to you and was upset because we started this thing. I don't know if you guys out there remember. I was a guest on, I'll name this podcast later, and Joe and Rory had this bright idea to do a R&B bracket for the greatest R&B album of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I'm still mad about.
There's still no bracket. I think we talked about it for about 2 hours. And
yeah, I've had a few people, even while on the road, come up and be like, yo, what's up with the bracket? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't handle it. I was like, you got to talk to Joe and Rob. Like, he's
going to put it on me.
Yeah, holler at them.
Joe and Rob.
But we had like a phenomenal list, even though they decided to keep Thriller and Off the Wall off of it, which I don't understand why. And
I forgot why we said, well, nobody can get two albums, right? And then we said,
I think we put in a time zone.
Was it 90s up? Was it,
it was like 90s up because Bobby Brown wasn't in it.
Right, because he was 89.
He was 89. So,
that's a good one.
Yeah, like, like we,
the thing about a Roni.
That's one of my favorite albums of all time.
It is so great. That's like, start to finish.
Let me say this before we even get close to finishing this interview. Bobby Brown, to me, don't get the respect he's supposed to get, B. Like, Bobby is like the first everything.
Right.
As far as like what we consider R&B now, like Chris and Usher, and Bobby was that first.
It was like the raunchy, like the little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think New Edition gets the credit that New Edition deserves. I think New Edition is the first group, like when you think about boy bands, like the Jackson 5 was amazing, but it was really just Michael and his brothers.
Well, like, Jermaine had a pretty nice career.
He had
a little bit after that. He helped Whitney with her first album.
Yeah, but New Edition is the only boy band out there. Maybe the Beatles, I don't know. Did all the Beatles have solo careers?
Yeah.
No, the Beatles was solidified.
But I didn't know if they all had solo, like. But New Edition, each and every one of them came out. Yo, when your backup, when the replacement lead is Johnny Gill?
Yeah. They've all had good careers. They've all, Belle Biv DeVoe.
Right, they all got their separate hits. Like,
yeah, you're right. New Edition don't get the respect.
Not at all, man.
Baby Love is probably my favorite New Edition song.
What's wrong?
Baby Love.
I don't know.
I'm not going to sing it for you, so don't start.
Can you sing?
No. Maybe if I'm drunk.
I'm the only one who sings on this
show. Maybe a couple Patron margaritas.
Now, this is the thing, because I've always respected Rob's work within our culture and in music. But when I first heard that you were doing a podcast, I didn't think that it was going to be R&B.
Yeah.
I was very glad. Like, I was, like, thankful. Like, yes, somebody fucking did it. What led you to do the R&B?
Because I was at, first of all, I'm an R&B head. Like, I love R&B. I feel like if you can't be a hip-hop head, and first of all the hip-hop, all your favorite hip-hop records sample R&B records.
Right.
So it's the source material. I mean, look, you know what it is. Growing up, we never separated the two.
Right.
Like, so, I mean, my favorite song of all time ever, I think, is Can You Stand the Rain? You know what I'm saying? It just, I don't know why, but when it just
that's
hit me.
Super R&B song.
Yeah.
But what happened was, I was at MTV this morning. I was working at MTV, and Neo was around on the press run, and he didn't really connect with the MTV audience. There wasn't nothing I could do with Neo that would work for MTV at that time, and it was bugging me. I'm like, this is Neo.
Right.
like, we need more outlets. We need more. So rather than complain that it wasn't a good fit, it's like, make something that's a good fit.
That's dope.
I interview rappers all day. I have no problem. I've interviewed every single rapper. There's probably three rappers I haven't interviewed that I want to interview, which is Eminem, Diddy, and Andre 3000.
I would love to see a Diddy interview with you too.
I'm fiending for a Diddy interview, but everybody from Rakim, Kane, Slick Rick, Drake, Jay-Z, Nas, like everybody. So you know, to do another rap podcast, plus, you know, Combat Jack has his lane. Right. Salute to him. Rosenberg has his lane. I just want to do something different.
Well, that's dope. Cause listen, I'm always the guy screaming out to people. There's really no outlets for R&B, especially independent new guys who don't have the major push. Where do you go to find out about these guys?
To the Red Light Special.
There you go.
Loudspeakers Network.
That's your R&B voice. Yeah. No,
yeah. You know, that
was a little crazy.
The other reason is, too, speaking of the R&B voice, and I've told this story before, is that I always said, though, when I retired from hip-hop, that I wanted to have a Quiet Storm show. Where I would just play old 90s records.
You gonna be the new Lenny Green?
Yeah.
He did say this a couple times. Yeah.
It's like, you remember the Faith video? You used to love me?
Yes.
And Biggie wasn't, hey, Ma, he just left a sexy thing like you home all night by yourself. Let's talk about it. Like, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be like Big with the linen on. Like, you know what I mean?
Listen, I will say this much. As the years went by, I did fall out of, well, I won't say I fell out of love. I really had like a bad moment where R&B just wasn't doing shit for me.
Yeah.
About like the time when Rough Ends came out? No.
And you hesitated to think
about it. He said, wait, it might have been that time.
It might have been that time. Nah, I'm like, it's just a moment where it was like, yo, there was no identity. Like, yeah. I'm so frustrated with R&B needing to have the singer be able to not only sing somewhat, but he got to rap too. Yeah. He got to dance. He got to do an EDM record. It's like, why can't we just get an R&B artist who is just R&B and then be mainstream? Right. It's just the weirdest shit to me.
And the wild thing is, and I hate, I'm not ever the person to take it to a race issue. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not my default, but I feel like for white artists, it's a lot easier to just come out and be able to sing. Like, Ed Sheeran just sings and plays the guitar. He sounds great, and he's good, and he's Ed Sheeran, and we love him. But, you know.
I saw Ed Sheeran do something at an award show, and
It wasn't dance.
No. It wasn't super dope.
He got rapped, though.
There's a guy, I'm not sure. Is he from Yonkers? I can't remember for sure where he's from. His name is Anthony Flamio. Flamia. Or something like, Anthony Flam. I know that much. And he's really dope. And his show is kind of built around him doing like this music box thing where he records himself one at a time doing the actual beat. And then he sings. Mm. And that was like his thing. Like every time I've seen him perform out here, he's done that. And I was like, oh, that's super fucking dope. And then I see Ed Sheeran doing it on TV, and it was like praise, like, oh my God, what the hell is he doing? That's amazing. And I'm like, fam, I just seen a kid in New York this shit with the ease.
Right.
It's just so disappointing. I think Tank even talked about it recently, where, you know, a record like, and taking nothing away from Sam Smith, his voice is amazing at the end of the day. Adele, amazing voice. But I've heard plenty of Sam Smith's and Adele's. Plenty of them.
That's true.
I've heard them. I've been to Village Underground. I've been to all these different spots out here, and I've heard people with that same texture, that same voice, and that same style, and with great music, get looked over all the time.
Yeah.
So it can't just be because it has to be something within the texture of the skin or something. I don't know.
That's why
it's got to be something.
That's why I love, like,
I can't.
Man, yeah. I remember Alicia Keys. I remember when Alicia Keys first came out. Her Diary album is one of my favorite albums. Mm-hmm. And it was just like her and her piano, which was dope. I remember I went to go see her on tour. This is when Diary was out. So it was her, Beyonce, and Missy Elliott.
I remember that.
Ladies First Tour, right? And Alicia got the same crowd reaction in the Garden as Beyonce without the fireworks. And I remember when she did, what's that out? I Tell Your Secrets. That shit. Mm-hmm. She laid on the piano backwards, draped over the piano. Shut up, Chris. And reached her hand overhead and played the piano while laying on her back on the piano and singing. It was, she was amazing to me. And like, it's just your voice and the instrument.
It's my favorite.
When can we get back to that?
Let's not talk about Alicia Keys. I have a soft spot for Alicia Keys.
Oh, me too.
You have what?
I have a real soft spot for Alicia Keys.
Oh, it might not be the same type of soft spot.
No, she's amazing. Like,
my spot is different.
I just like her music.
I would think
my first kid might be responsible because of Alicia Keys.
Mm.
Like, seriously, it's that deep.
All jokes aside.
Like, I think I looked at her and saw Alicia Keys for a moment and said, oh, I can't pull out. Right. Seriously, I'm so serious. Like, as weird as it sounds.
You gotta stop.
Yeah.
I hope Swizz ain't listening.
Right. Oh, shout out to Swizz. I mean, you know.
Showtime.
Yeah.
But I do think, I don't know, I look at artists, like even, I'm not sure what exactly where Leanne LaHavis is from, but she is amazing. I look at artists like even Tangina. We had this girl, Tangina Stone, on our podcast, and she sings, she plays the guitar, she's amazing. I feel like it's just harder for these kind of artists who have amazing voice and amazing talent, and they play these instruments and they sound so soulful. It's hard for them. Even so many artists who already are big have spoken on it, like how, what they had to do to get them, their songs played on the radio, as opposed to just Adele and even Justin Bieber. His new album came out, and it's an amazing album. I'm not going to take away from it, but it's so easy for these people to come out, you know, and really prosper on it.
I've spoken to plenty of people, some people in radio, some people in behind the scenes in different realms, and they've all come to me and say, yo, you're dope, you just need radio. And I'm like, okay, like, what am I supposed to do? Go up to the radio station, just, hey, play the, like, okay, like, I understand that there's a process in this, but how are people who have no clue how to get there, how we too get there? And then you also have a lot of people now who don't want to take chance on new artists, a new music. They want to know for sure that it's going to already go because the money's there behind it. The fan base is already proven. You know, you have over 20,000 followers or something, you know, whatever. Right. It's so much that comes along with it for a guy who's just simply caught up in the music, who doesn't know any of those other routes. You're kind of just stuck, like, hoping that someone come knocks on the door or hoping that someone sees you by chance at a showcase or something like that. And now we've gotten to the point where now R&B artists have to go the hip-hop route and now put out mixtapes.
Right. Yeah.
Mixtapes has never been my thing. Like, I've never wanted to put out mixtapes. Which is why I've done the projects in the fashion that I've done them. I've kind of formulated them, I won't say in album sense, but I've kind of done them with the album theme.
Right.
I just think it's whack that R&B artists are now being put to a point where I got to put out a mixtape, or I got to do a joint with Drama or with whoever, or Who Kid, you know, whoever, just to get seen. Like, it's taken us out of our element, even though music is supposed to evolve, but you're also supposed to be able to balance out and keep the origin there as well. So it's
definitely
weird.
Balance out, because I just can't listen to rap all day. Like, you know, if I'm with my lady or like, it's certain times, like, yo, they don't even play, like, I remember when it was a thing when you be in the club or whatever, and this is years ago, I don't know, school dances, I don't know, and they'll just throw an R&B song on, and you know,
had
it changed the vibe. Like, you don't even get R&B music no more, like, in the club.
No, not at all.
Everybody want to turn up? Like, I want to get close. Like, what you doing? Like,
yeah, the R&B set used to be real in the club. When that next, come on, and, baby.
Yeah.
That was dope.
112, it's over now. Something. Like, or if you're from New York, that you will never find another lover
come
like
you.
That was New York.
That was a New York classic. I used to live on 233.
So, and they had such a groove to them, like, I don't know, and I do agree that I don't think that's the thing anymore. And to be honest with you, when I'm home and I'm blasting music, like, I want to blast 90s music and R&B music, new or old, mainly old. But there's a lot of new artists,
it's not a lot of new music that gets played in my house.
No,
it's usually older.
You're not listening to anybody new that you're digging?
I was telling Rob out there, like, so much music has come out just of recent that I haven't been able to catch up on anything. Like, I wanted to listen to Chris Brown's joint, but it's 34 tracks on there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I haven't heard that.
And he has an album jumping out very soon. I just heard Jeremiah's project just came out. I want to listen to that. haven't gotten a chance to. August Alsina's joint comes out
next week,
which I had no clue of. Like, yeah. So it's just a lot of music going on. I think the last current project that I really continuously listened to might have been Justin's 2020.
Oh, wow.
First one, right?
Yeah, not the second.
Because the second one was the second one.
But the first one?
You know, I feel like that. I feel like Justin's 2020, those two, I feel like if he would have took a couple of records off of there and just put it onto the other joint, it would have been like a complete 12, 13-song project. Right. That's how I felt about Jay-Z's Blueprint 2.
Oh, yeah.
Jay-Z's Blueprint 2, the first side was dope. Dope as hell.
And there was a couple of joints on the second side.
There was a couple side on the second. Just make it one complete look.
I don't think 2020 should be touched whatsoever. Like, I think every song on there is perfect the way it is, the sequencing.
I'm not big on that Let the Groove In record.
What? You don't like it?
I mean, when I want to mop my floor and act silly and act like, you know, Tom Cruise and Risky Business. Yeah, I might, you know, but I'm not big on that record. There was other records on the other side that I love, though. So.
Talk to us real quick before we go any further. Miss 4AM. Who is she? What does she look like?
I got in trouble
Where
for
Where does
it.
She live? Let's go.
So I have an ex. Miss 4AM is pretty much the her from the old projects. I just kind of more or less... How I first started doing it, and funny enough, I never told Joe, but the songs about her theme was more or less inspired by the mood music. Because I felt like, being that I was that close to him, let me be able to try to do an R&B side of that. And at that moment, I had a lot of different hers coming in and out. Like, I was like a serial monogamist. Like, I'd get a girlfriend, we'd break up, next week I'm back in another relationship. So it was a lot of hers. But this one girl who will remain nameless because she wants to.
You ain't nothing like Joe. Joe would have put a name out.
Yeah. Well, I know I did recently. But I put like a real respectful IG post because a lot of people would ask, who's her? And I kind of wanted to salute her in a way. And we went through whatever we went through. No one's fault. No one's a bad side on it. But she broke my heart at the end of the day. And it kind of started me to jump into these relationships with women trying to search for this one thing that I had with this one girl. So I was like, you know what, let me make that the theme of my project, my very first project. And then it just kept moving forward. And as time went by, I just kept meeting a bunch of hers. And I was like, all right, I'm going to just stick with this. And then this project kind of led me to remember how she became the her. And I was like, all right, let me kind of document that. So it's almost like Star Wars in a sense. Like, I started at a certain point, and I'm going back to tell the story in some way.
Like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I relate everything to movies.
I love that movie.
That's my second favorite movie of all time.
I literally actually watch it all the time.
It's up there.
Quentin
Tarantino's my favorite director of all time.
My shit is Godfather. No, it's probably Godfather 1 and 2, and then Pulp Fiction after that.
I got some real quote-unquote gay choices.
What are yours? I want to hear them.
My very first choice is West Side Story. That's my very favorite movie of all time. Yeah, I know. Right. Go ahead. Spit your word out. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
It's fucked up when the female laughed. Yeah. I didn't even laugh. I'm like, okay. It's a musical,
she's like,
right?
You.
I kind of get it.
It's musical.
I get it.
She's
Wait,
like,
she
you
laughed.
Freaking punk.
See that? You almost made.
See, this is what's messed up because if I told
them. I love
them,
it.
Okay.
But then I thought about it, and I'm like, coming from you, then it just made me think it.
It made sense to me.
And then I almost spit the water out.
Yeah.
But good one. Okay, next.
But that, then. These are such wild choices. West Side Story. Then it's A Clockwork Orange.
Amazing
what?
Movie.
Wait
Stanley
a minute.
Kubrick.
See the jumps?
Wait.
Clockwork Orange is dope.
I could not get past, like, half. After half, I stopped
super
watching.
Super dope movie.
That is
super dope movie.
And it would be my favorite one if I wasn't so much of an artist. Right.
But why? I mean,
it's because the mental. I love that. I love that.
What about the mental, though? Because I feel like the whole movie, obviously it deals with the whole night outings that they go out and they rape and they
but it doesn't.
They're violent,
I mean,
with women
that.
And stuff and
it,
families.
I feel like that is just used as the scenery to really speak on the bigger point.
Okay.
It just really spoke to the mind of a lost person and society trying to retrain his thinking, which wasn't retrainable.
Right. He was stuck in his ways.
He was stuck in his ways. He was demented. He was violent. And it wasn't because someone taught him that. It's just what he was. He was just crazy.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it was just great mindfuck. It was a great mindfuck.
I don't know. See, I watched it only because they put it on Netflix, and you know, I've always obviously heard about it. It's a classic movie. I mean, it's probably in so many people's like top five. I don't know. I couldn't get past the whole, like, it's half film, half theatrical, half.
The language is different.
Yeah, very different.
You know what? Maybe you should read the book first. Read the book and then go back and try to watch it, because that's what I did.
Okay, I'll try that. I'm a book nerd, so.
Okay.
Yeah, try reading that.
And then I think my third after that would have to be, it's either, I got a weird choice. It's either between Reservoir Dogs.
Ooh.
Or.
That one's good.
Or Pinocchio.
What? Wait.
You gotta throw a kid movie in. I grew up watching, that movie was like.
Pinocchio?
Yeah. Pinocchio, like. It's the stories. It's not more or less the actual scenes that's being. It's the stories. Like even West Side Story, it's very theatrical, it's very musical. But the actual story, I mean, it's pretty much Romeo and Juliet. But the way it's being told, I could identify because I'm a Puerto Rican black and Italian boy who could side with both sides. It was like
Puerto
I got
Rican
it.
Black and Italian.
Yeah. So I got it. I could understand. That's why I loved it. Clockwork Orange, I related to, and not in the violent sense. I related so much because I'm so stuck in my ways. I feel like there's nothing that's changing me. I feel like mentally I have my moments where I'm off in a sense, but then there's something that brings me back, or there's something that brings it out of me. Like in Clockwork, Beethoven playing brought it out of him.
Yeah.
There's moments that I can hear or see something that turns me into that beast.
Right,
like on stage, I'm the same way.
Now I think I got to read the book because I hate when I can't like relate to, like, I'm trying, but I don't know. I couldn't get into it.
There has to be another side of you. Because you're very cool, very lax, very girly.
I'm girly? Rob.
What?
I know I'm not that girly, but you just made the OD face.
I'm just saying.
I don't think you're tomboyish. You come off as a lady.
Yeah.
There has to be something that pulls the crazy Chris out at some point.
Mm. Yeah. Something. You'll see it in you, me, him, and her.
Mm.
See, there you go.
Oh, you told him about the movie? I went out to use the bathroom and I came back and y'all was still talking about A Clockwork Orange. I felt like I didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince her to go ahead and just give it another run.
I'm going to have to read the book. And then I'm going to try watching the movie again.
And then I told her
that you wasted a lot of hours of my life.
My favorite was Reservoir Dogs or Pinocchio.
Reservoir Dogs is an amazing movie. Pinocchio, I haven't seen Pinocchio in years. I don't know.
Yeah, so.
You're a little weird.
I'm weird.
See, I like movies like Fatal Attraction. I mean, Reservoir Dogs is definitely in my top. Pulp Fiction. I like Fatal Attraction. What's the other one?
I'm thinking about. I'm gonna go watch Reservoir Dogs again. He said,
I'm gonna have to watch that tonight.
Why do I gotta be Mr. Pink? Because you're a pussy.
I hate the actual movie. I'm not big on the movie, but I love the cinematography and the actual imagery. Eyes Wide Shut is another one. Okay. I'm a big Stanley Kubrick fan. It's with Tom Cruise and
Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it starts off in the street with the car, the scene.
Yeah. And
right?
They go to the mansion and it's like.
It's like, I feel like that's
my. I feel like if I could live my life how I want to live it, I would have lived it in that house.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it again. I feel like I was young when I seen it and probably a lot of that went over my head.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
But it's written dope. It's cinematography is amazing.
You know what's a great movie? What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Johnny Depp.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp. And the really obese,
I used to work at Blockbuster,
mother.
So I had nothing but
time. Did you?
Yes.
You know how many movies I lost from Blockbuster and have them at my house?
Well, because Blockbuster is no longer around, I can say I used to steal all them shits. I don't care. Right. Every single one.
All those VHSs in your house. Yeah. What you gonna do?
They go
the DVD. You can't even play the DVDs no more. You gonna blame that.
Damn, we just went right into the...
For real. Chris, you want to get into
it? I'm sorry. This is... You're talking to somebody who studies this shit, so...
We have another segment. Chris, we got some?
Yeah, but I wanted to do something a little different this week.
Oh, damn.
Uh-oh.
Hey, she called the audible. I have no idea what she's going to do.
That's cool.
Floor is yours.
Because we usually do the relationship advice segment, but... I kind of wanted to, because I hear your music and you talk a lot about, you know, everything is physical and mental relations with a woman, right? Mm-hmm. Between two people. And I feel like we're in a completely different generation, even speaking musically, like R&B artists today, way different than what we used to have back in the day, mm-hmm. back in the 90s when R&B was like the era. So I kind of want to just get your opinion on, I feel like today everything is kind of just a fling. Everybody, like, that's the thing nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you were in one relationship and then you would end it, go back into another one. I feel like that's what people are doing now. Like, to find people that actually want a relationship is a little difficult. Like, how do you feel about that? And then how do you put that into your music?
I think what happened is back then, the era that we all grew up in and learned a lot from, we didn't have the advancements of social media. We didn't have these very quick ways of building these relationships. You actually had to take the time. Like, I remember back when I had to actually take out a piece of paper and a pen and actually go up to a woman and actually get her number and actually call enough and actually get to know her. People don't want to build relationships. Even in friendships, you know, it's very quick. Oh, you meet each other, and a week later, oh, that's my bestie.
Shit, the worst shit is Twitter. It'd be like, oh, Rob, that's my homie. I never met you.
Yeah.
We just cool on
like
Twitter.
I'm very scared about using certain words with people. Like, I don't have many friends.
Yeah.
I don't like to call people bro all the time. Like, I don't... It's gotten to a point where people want these quick relationships, and they want to gain them very quickly. They don't actually want to put the time into getting to know someone. I remember I started speaking to a girl, and a week later she was, you know, calling me babe or whatever, just acting a little more familiar than what she should have been.
Putting her feet up on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With socks on.
Yeah, with socks. So I think the difference is people then had more patience and was willing to put in the time to actually get to know the person they were going to actually invest the time in, where now we just want the investment from the jump. Like, if I've been following you for more than 2 weeks, you now think that I'm your man. Or if I DM you, oh, yeah. Like, it's just our attention spans are very short. We always want different imageries every couple of seconds. Women now online, the more followers you have, the more guys you have in your DM, you value that more than actually one guy who's actually showing genuine interest. People just build relationships differently this day and age.
It reminded me of something that was eloquently put. Reminded me about something, though. You talk about the behavior on Instagram. Did you see this thing with Aisha Curry on Twitter?
Yeah.
Where she had remarked. Did you see this, Chris?
I actually didn't. I just saw everybody tweeting about it, and clearly I just put two and two together, and I'm assuming she said, I don't know, explain it to me.
So she said that she said that, oh, clearly the new style is showing off all the goods. I'd rather cover up and save that for the one that matters. Her opinion. Mm-hmm. It's great.
And everyone,
them hoes jumped down.
What she said is accurate for her and the people who feel like her. There's also maybe a higher up of people who might look at her and feel like what she wears is a little tasteless.
Right.
So, you know, it all depends on who's speaking it and who it's coming from. But I mean, at the end of the day, women, the majority of women online ain't giving a fuck about what she's saying. They gonna do what they gonna do anyway.
Yeah.
And they're looking for that attention.
It was like World War III on Twitter on Sunday morning.
I've been around women who have literally said to me, or I've overheard, they're trying to get their followers up. Mm. Oh, well, I gotta get my body done so I can take these pics, so I can get a better bartending job. Or I can, like, these are the aspirations of women at this point. Not to knock women, simply women, because there's a lot of men who walk around with similar stupidities. But there are people who are literally in this shit for short-term success. Right. And I think that's what boils down back to the people jumping in and out of relationships. No one's thinking long-term. They're just thinking for the moment, how can I gratify myself right now in this moment? I'm lonely today. So let me get somebody in here right now. And then tomorrow when I'm not lonely, I'll just kick them up. Like, it's sad that people actually move like that now.
But you know what, though? Like, I feel like there's...
And the music, I feel like the music, and it kind of goes back to where R&B and the differences now. I feel like the music reflects that. There's no more, you know, everything is, can I hit it?
Mm-hmm.
Trap Queen, and I like Fetty. I'm not saying nothing bad about Fetty, but there's no more Tevin Campbell's, can we talk?
Right.
For a minute. I just want a minute. I just want to know your name. Like, and so, because the human interaction is different now. The music is different. It's reflecting the music.
Yeah, if your album is sounding like you're going through just one experience, which, you know, if that's your experience, that's your experience, then you should probably try to get out more and meet some more people so that you can have some different things to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, I would be an idiot if my whole project talked simply about me having sex with women. Like, that can't be the only thing that I'm going through. Even at a young person's age, there has to be a little more struggles, a little different things. You're learning different things about yourself, about women. And if you're really that passionate about the music, that should be documented. Because essentially, we're doing this to kind of showcase our experiences in our life.
Right.
And if all you're talking about is that, then you need to get out a little bit more and do a little more things.
I feel like The Weeknd in House of Balloons and Thursday and all those songs, even like Glass Table Girls, I feel like he did a very good job at telling us his story of like his whole lust life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's okay. Like, if you can do that and the music's still good, like, that's okay. Because, I mean, we're all guilty of, you know.
But look at him now. You deserve it.
Yeah, like, at some point.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Nobody's stuck in one moment forever. Yeah. You know, people grow. Then you meet another person, and that person's going to bring you a completely different experience. So the music's going to change with that. And if it doesn't, then you're just not genuinely, you know, speaking.
Well, you have some people who aren't willing to open up to different trains of thought. Like, I still know grown men who just think every woman in the world's a hoe. Like, there's grown men who literally think that no matter what you present, no matter who you are, every woman is a hoe or potentially is going to be a hoe. Like, I do think there are a lot of hoes in the world, but I don't think that every single woman is a
house.
No, I mean, it's an immature, ignorant way to think.
It is, yeah.
And then you got a lot of women who just think every man is a fucking dog.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and they're old women. And it's kind of like you didn't meet anyone different. So then it says to me, you have to look at yourself. Like, what is it about you that keeps you meeting these type of people or gives you just these experiences?
Right.
So, and I think that goes back to Aisha Curry. I mean, I personally think she's beautiful and she's funny. She's bubbly. She's a very family woman, you know. But see, like a person like me, like, if I know I'm secure in my ways, I don't need to go out pointing everybody else's wrongs or negatives.
Yeah,
I feel like she's in the eye. She's in the public eye now. You are married to Stephen Curry. Everyone is watching what you do and what you say.
I want
to
know what.
Why do you have
that?
To say that? What do you get out of it?
She just made a comment, though. Like, I think it was just a comment. It's not like she didn't say.
Comments are rarely just randomly thrown.
People read too
much. I feel like it was a thought that came from something else. There might have been something that she felt insecure about, something that she saw that maybe she was like, well, that person's only getting it because they're doing this. And then she went on Twitter and wrote, which is cool. Everybody can, I mean, that's what Twitter's for.
Listen, you ain't got a trip. Your man about to go 82-0.
That's what I'm saying. That's why, like, why even do that? I feel like if she don't say nothing, like, she already has all the respect in the world. You know what I mean? Because she has nothing to take away from. But now you come out and you say something like that, and it's like, instead of pointing out everybody else's wrongs, and if you want to make, like you said, maybe she wants to make a change, go out and start some kind of, you know, like, something.
Okay, let's make this very clear. She ain't making no change. This ain't gonna stop. This ain't gonna end. The people are gonna dress how they want to dress. They're gonna act how they want to act. She probably has friends who do the same thing. So she has to remember, when you make that statement, you're not just talking to the people you don't know. You're talking to the people you know as well who are moving that way.
Yeah.
It's almost like when people get down on Kim Kardashian for her moves and her, you know, being very free with her body and this and this and that. Now, no matter what people think of her or they label her as, this is a woman who we've known to be in certain relationships, married into those relationships, and has kids with one guy.
Yeah.
That don't sound bad to me, no matter what picture she takes. I can point to you a lot of women who don't dress tasteless, but in character are way worse.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I always said the whole Kim Kardashian, like, the bashing, what for? You know what I mean? Like, everybody makes mistakes. I guarantee you, if
it's not a mistake, it's a sex tape. Who's never made a sex tape?
Yeah, but even mistakes, like when she was pregnant, she took a nude picture and the self. I mean, first of all, did she post that or did that get out?
But I think she did post it. But even if she did post it, she wasn't there busting her legs open. She wasn't there, like, it. She wouldn't be the first person who's done it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's just that she's in the public eye.
And on top of that, the sex tape thing, we're all a leak away from being a porn star.
Yeah.
We all got a sex tape. So, you know, if that's the case, it's kind of very ignorant. It's very hypocritical. Yeah. I'm not mad at what's her name? Aisha.
Curry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her statement is her statement.
Yeah. Right.
Was it needed to be said? No, because it's something that we know women feel all the time. But she can say
it. I'm not mad at
it.
I just think I'm more of a fan of mind your own, and if you know, you know what I mean? Like, I respect and I hold people to a higher gratitude when they don't go around bashing everybody else for what they don't do. Like, cool, we know you don't do it.
You know what it's like? It's like the woman who's married to the millionaire and we never see her, seeing her and saying, oh, why don't celebrity wives just stay in the background? You know, I feel like that's the role you should play instead of, like, everyone's going to have an opinion on something.
Right.
So there's someone that no matter how she moves in her life, there's going to be someone who's going to look down on her and not understand why she moves how she moves or why she has this avenue.
Yeah, people were saying that about when he was bringing the kid.
Yeah.
Riley Curry. That's inappropriate. Why he got to bring her to the press, like.
I don't think it's inappropriate.
Like, but there was people who had that criticism. So what Imani is saying is, like, there's always going to be somebody to criticize something.
Yeah.
Even the most holiest person. Like, there's people who criticize the Pope. Like, there's someone, everything.
You know
everything's going to be criticized.
You know what they can't criticize? Miss 4AM. It's a really good album. It's a really good album.
Yeah, please. It's on iTunes.
It's a little bit too short, though. I was a little upset at $3.99.
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
Is it $3.99?
I hope.
Damn, we gotta
bring
that
up.
Up. Yo, Empire, can we get a $4.99 off of that?
I thought it was $3.99.
All right, well, cool. I mean, either way, go buy it.
Have you been working on new music?
Yeah, I'm always working on new music. I will admit I do enjoy recording, but I hate. Okay, hate is a bad word. I don't really like being in the studio.
You're not a long hours at the studio kind of guy?
No, I like to go in, work, get out.
Right.
I don't want to be sitting there. It's not. I don't want to invite homies over. Whenever I go to the studio, it's me and a producer. My manager never comes. My friends never come. Never. I just like to be in my zone. It's work at the end of the day. It's fun in the process of doing it. I love hearing the outcome.
Yeah.
But it can be exhausting.
What did I say when we came in? I said this guy takes his R&B very seriously.
Yeah. No. I'm very closed off. Like when I work with other artists, I'm used to it being packed.
Right.
They got their weed, they got their drinks. Women, oh, let's bring the women over for inspiration or for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Me, I'm totally opposite. I don't want anyone around.
I feel like the rappers are more like that.
No, sing it. All of them. Because I think in their mind, they want to make it as enjoyable as possible. So, you know, the more people you have around, it's a little more fun. You get to bounce ideas. Me, I'm in that zone because I want to give my experience and my moments, and I don't want too many people influencing that.
Right.
Unless we're collaborating on something. When I'm in there to work on my own, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I don't answer the phone. I don't tweet. I don't IG. I'm just in a different world.
So. Different.
Oh.
But we here, man. Yo, I think we getting the rap single, Samir. I'm getting a couple of texts from Samir.
Yeah.
What are we at, 70 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Good episode today, man.
Man, I'm glad I got a chance to come up here and speak, man.
You might be the first that we clock at this time, right?
Yeah, we
I feel
we
like it's just genuine combo. That's why it's like.
I like that. I like genuine combo. Yeah. I didn't feel like anything was forced.
No.
It didn't ask me any questions about sex life, which is great.
Right.
No, we didn't even ask
next
about that girl you pulled on stage at SOB's either.
Yeah, shout out to her. She was dope. Shout out to her.
That was dope, though. I like that.
Yeah, nah. But, you know, we need something for the next interview, so.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Until next time.
Yeah. But until then, Imani, where can they hit you at? Where can they get the album at?
At The Only Imani is the Twitter and IG. If you don't know how to spell Imani, it's E-M-A-N-N-Y. iTunes, you can go get Songs About Her, Songs About Her 2, Songs About You EP, and now Miss 4 AM EP. And I think those four projects will keep you abreast of everything. I always got to make sure before I go anywhere, I have to give a big show of respect, of course, to Joe.
Yeah.
For always supporting, and also Jadakiss. I've never had an interview where I actually gave him a shout, but for a lot of other people, he was my first introduction as well. And you know, he was a big support system and giving me some tutelage in the game. So definitely got to say what's up to them.
We have some in common. Jadakiss was my very first assignment as a writer. So dope. I always credit Jadakiss with maybe why I'm here. And Joe is another reason why we have a podcast. After I did podcast later, I said, hey, I could do this.
Yes.
It's not so hard. He could do it. I could do
right.
it.
Right.
Great connections.
So, we signed our deal. So I respect it. Chris.
At Chris Lover, K-R-I-S-L-O-V-A-A. That's on everything.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Rob Markman, R-O-B-M-A-R-K-M-A-N on Twitter.
They know your shit.
Listen, man. I got to get it up, man. On Twitter, Instagram, all that.
And the Twitter for the podcast, RLS Podcast. We didn't do any questions today, but you guys, if you want to send anything in, we have the email. It's redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. So whether it's, you know, questions related to the music, relationship questions, positive, negative, whatever the case may be, just hit us up. Send them in.
That's what it is. Until next week, working on a real special guest. I don't want to jinx it, but I just got an email. We're real close to locking in a guest for next week. But until next week, we're going to take you out with the homies, Jake and Papa. This is Starless. You've been listening to the Red Light Special.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.